So let's open our Bibles, page 1139, for Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to read just three verses of Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. Amen. So this short series of reflections on the theme, the way of discipleship, each week I'll be reading another few verses from Romans chapter 12 as our inspiration for the way of discipleship. At the beginning of the Gospels, we have stories of Jesus approaching people and saying to them, come, follow me. Come, follow me. And that is a key aspect of what it means to be a disciple, not simply somebody who believes or somebody who signs on a dotted line somewhere and says, right, I am now a Christian. Jesus calls us to follow him. And to be a follower of Jesus is to be an apprentice of Jesus. It's to be a learner, a student. And it doesn't matter how old we get, how many years we have been attempting stumblingly to follow Jesus, we will always remain students, learners, apprentices of Jesus. And so we're always exploring what it is to be a disciple, paying particular attention to the teaching and the life of Jesus, that we might together figure out how can we best follow Jesus and honour him in our lives, both individually and together. And today, I'm going to focus just on verse 3. I wasn't anticipating focusing just on one verse, but it's one of the things that happen, and I guess it will happen to us all as we read the Bible. Sometimes we read the Bible and we can read an entire chapter or several chapters and it just feels good and it's helpful to reflect on it. But other times I can read or start reading and it's as if the words I read trip me up. And the words I read call out to me and say, no, hang on. You've got to stop here and reflect a little more. And that's what happened to me this week. I simply read the words, for by the grace given me. And so all I'm going to do is reflect on those words for the next. Well, how long shall I say? Yeah, for the next 20 minutes, for by the grace given me. And I'm going to use four key words, so you'll know they're coming. Response, relate, refashion, and reflect. And really, what I'm going to share with you is a reflection on the meaning of grace, the meaning of the grace gift, the gift of grace that God offers to us. So response, relate, refashion, and reflect. And the first is this, the grace gift granted to us expects a response. The grace gift that God offers to us expects a response. Now, I was brought up within a particular tradition, and in so many ways I have repeated this particular thought for years and years and years, that grace, it means God gives a gift to us, no strings attached. Who's heard that? Yeah. No strings attached. And I quite like that. The idea that you would give me a gift, no strings attached. Or God would give me a gift, no strings attached. And from the point of the gift being given and I receiving the gift, I was then responsible for what I did with whatever it was, whatever grace had been offered to me. And one of the things I discover in, you know, part of my life as a scholar of the New Testament in particular, is that as scholars, we're always digging deeper to understand what words mean and what ideas mean within the culture in which Paul was writing and in which the gospel writers were writing, in order that we can understand what we read better. And in the ancient times, in the first century, in Greco-Roman times, there was no such thing as grace offered, no strings attached. It simply did not exist. The idea that grace would be offered to somebody, no strings attached, simply did not exist. Now that, when I discovered it, I found it shocking. And I thought, crikey, I've been thinking differently all these years. And yet within the culture, within the society at the time, the idea of somebody giving a gift, a grace, and the word used, you'll be familiar with, charis. You're familiar with that word, charis, from which we get the term charismatic or charism. Grace that is offered was always offered, expecting a response. It was a way in ancient culture of developing relationships. It was the way of drawing communities together. Grace was offered, and it could appear in many, many different forms. It could be somebody welcoming you into their home. In fact, for somebody to turn up at your home would be regarded as grace, that they are deemed to come into your home and receive your hospitality. And you would feel honour bound to respond by offering them food and water or wine, whatever it was. It could be that a king would offer to those who were his subjects a particular blessing, and that would be a gift of grace, and it would be the king's way of developing a sense of community, of a closer relationship with those who were his subjects. But there would always be an expectation that it wouldn't just end with the offering and the receiving of the gift. There would always be a response in some way. Now, the reason for this, as I understand it, is that when God offers a gift to us and we receive that gift, the gift involves, as it were, if I could put it this way, the DNA of God. So the gift always includes something of God himself. Whatever it looks like, however it feels, however it is received, it includes something of God. And as we receive the gift, there is within it some callback to the giver. So grace gift, as God offers a gift to us of life or forgiveness or mercy or kindness, if we acknowledge in our daily life skills and gifts and belongings and finances, all sorts of things we receive and honour as gifts of grace from God. If we understand and accept grace in the way that Paul would have understood it from within his culture, then there is a response that God is asking for. Now, I've always been concerned about the ideas of if somebody gives me a gift and there's strings attached, I'm always a little bit wary. What is it they want from me? When God offers us a gift of grace, because God is love, love does not control. You know that. Love does not control. Love is risky because love does not control, but love always invites. Love always invites. The Apostle Paul can say that the opposite of love is fear. Fear controls. When people try to control us, it's because they're afraid. But love does not control us. Love invites that response. And so God isn't trying to control us by granting us gifts, whatever gift that might be. He's inviting, he's expectant of a response in some way from within our lives, as we recognize that God is good and has granted us grace. And the second word is relate. The grace gift expects a response, invites that response, is expectant of a response, but is related to God. The grace gift is always related to God. It is an invitation to relate to God. Not to go off by ourselves and say, thank you very much for my gift, for my ability, for my skill. Now I'm going to use it in whatever way I deem it should be used. But the gift is always related to God. There is something of the DNA of God within the gift that is given to us. And we need to recognize that. Lots of words beginning with the letter R today. We need to recognize that God has given us the gift, that there is something of God within the gift, and our response should be, how do I relate to God? How can I discover more of God through this gift of grace, this free gift that is given to me in love and kindness? So grace gift expects a response, is always related to God. And then the third thing is it refashions us. It refashions us. To receive a gift of grace from God, recognizing that it invites a response, there's an expectation of response, is always related to God because there is something of God within that gift. It changes us. It changes us once we recognize that. And that's often the kicker for us. Because it may be that we want to receive God's gift, whether that's the gift of forgiveness, the gift of mercy, the gift of a new beginning, the gift of a good day, the gift of security or safety, all sorts of things we might ask God for, all sorts of things that we might be aware that God has given us. to us. But the intention is always that grace changes us. Grace refashions us. It changes us so that we might reflect the giver more clearly in who we are and what we do. And this is grace. The grace gift, it invites a response. It is always related to God. It is intended to refashion us as we recognize it is the gift of God. But the intention is that as we use our gift, it will reflect the giver. And that's another R word. It's a profound responsibility that we have as we receive God's gift of grace, whatever that is. And as we are aware that it changes us, it refashions us. But it should, in our use of that gift, reflect the giver. And so we don't use our gift selfishly, because God is not selfish. God is kind and merciful and generous. We don't say, well, I'm going to use the gift for these people I like, but not for those other people. I will share it with these people because they agree with me, but I won't share it with those other people. That's not different sides of the church. Because God doesn't discriminate with those who agree with him or those who do not agree with him. He loves in a most extraordinary way. Neither can we say, it is my gift. It is my gift. It belongs to me. We should always have open hands before God. Always have open hands as God has open hands towards us. Our use of whatever gift we have should reflect the life and the character of the one who gives a gift. Now, next week, I'm going to get into more specifics, which is what I thought I was going to get into today. And as we'll read on from verse 4, the recognition that we're all different and we have different gifts, we have these different graces given to us. And there are all sorts of things that we have. Gifts, they may be spiritual gifts, they may be practical gifts. We may regard the finance we have as a gift from God. We might regard our education as a gift from God. We might regard the way we're able to use our minds or our bodies as a gift from God. And we are responsible to God to reflect the character of God in the way that we use the gift that we have. So that's all I'm going to share this morning. But I wanted us to focus on grace. A grace gift is not no strings attached, but it invites and expects a response. Grace gift is given to engender relationship and community and connection. It is given with the DNA of the giver, always somehow mysteriously within it. It's always about relationship. It's always about changing the one who receives. Changing the one who receives generously and lovingly, kindly and mercifully. But it's always that it might reflect the giver. Earlier on in the service, Simon read for us the parable that Jesus told. of a man who is forgiven a humongous debt. I think it was like 10,000 gold coins. He was forgiven that extraordinary debt. He received grace. But that man went out and thought, I've been forgiven. Now I am free to do whatever I wish. And so when he came across somebody who owed him some silver coins, he immediately insisted that that man paid his debt there and then. And because he couldn't, right, you will go to prison until you can pay the debt. Jesus told that parable to remind us that just as we have received from God, so also we should reflect that generosity in the way that we use the gift we have received. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are love. Your DNA is love. All that you do is love. Father, thank you that your love is so vast, so abundant. We cannot truly begin to understand the extent of your love. But we thank you. We thank you that you are loving and kind and merciful and forgiving towards us. We thank you that in your love, you pursue us. You come after us. You invite us again and again and again to know you. To know you as Father. And in so doing, to truly come to know ourselves as you have made us to be. Father, we pray, as we reflect upon grace, charis, the grace gift, we pray that our response might truly reflect your goodness and mercy towards us. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.